The Bible is the inspired word of God. It is the only book that reveals to us how we are tried by fire. Let us study the Bible. For if we do so, we shall find rest for our souls. Good morning, everyone, and good morning especially to the Metro World Ministry for bringing this opportunity for all of us to gather at the beginning of this new year to listen to the Word of God, to be trained so we can go forth and carry the light. Though the ministry is based here in New York, but the ministry is a global outreach. As people from all over the world are listening to these messages, acting upon it, and lives are being changed. We are thankful that we can begin a series titled One Day at a Time. One Day at a Time, these are lessons on the life of Elijah. Elijah lived around 800 years before Christ, 800 BC. It was the darkest period of Israel's life as Ahab and Jezebel were married. Jezebel, a symbol of spiritual apostasy, basically spiritual religion apostasy, was married to Ahab, a head of state, and Jezebel used Ahab to persecute Elijah. Here is a symbol of what is going to be in the last days. Spiritual Jezebel, apostate religion, is going to unite with the powers of state. And Jezebel religion, Christianity, false religion, will use the powers of the state to persecute Elijah. But God would not leave his message chained. He will, despite the persecution, raise up at the darkest period of the earth's history, raise up a balm in Gilead, because Elijah came from Thisbe, which was in the land of Gilead. He was a balm from Gilead. And on Mount Carmel, he confronted Ahab and Jezebel, presented Elijah's message, a straight and uncompromising message, calling people to decision, calling people to totally serve the living God and obey his commandments. After this event, Jezebel sought to persecute Elijah, but God protected Elijah and ultimately took Elijah to heaven without seeing death. We never heard about Elijah again in the Old Testament until in the very last chapter of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi. In the very last chapter, chapter 4, we hear a startling prophecy: Elijah will come again before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Who is this Elijah? When will he come? What will he do? What is this great and dreadful day of the Lord? Of course, we know it to be the second coming of Christ, but we'll talk about it later on. Our messages have to do with the return of Elijah, but specifically the preparation God took Elijah through. We cannot stand on Mount Carmel unless we go through the training at the brook Kerith, sitting beside a drying brook. And the specific lesson was Elijah stayed there day by day. He was provided for day by day by the ravens, one day at a time. And that's where our theme comes from. The need to depend on the Lord day by day, one day at a time. And as we said in the language of the song, Father, lead me day by day, ever in thine own sweet way. Teach me to be pure and true. Show me what I ought to do. When in danger, make me brave. Make me know that thou canst save. Keep me safe by thy dear side. Let me in thy love abide. When I'm tempted to do wrong, make me steadfast, wise, and strong. And when all alone I stand, shield me with thy mighty hand. May I do the good I know, be thy loving child below, then at last go home to thee, evermore thy child to be. The words of this song, Father, lead me day by day. It is a call to depend on him, to live one day at a time. And as we look through the life of Elijah, we are going to discover the training God gave Elijah. You cannot stand on Mount Carmel unless you go through the training at Kerith. And this morning, the training is going to be another location called Zarephath. And there we are going to witness how Elijah was tried by fire. Our message this morning is entitled, Tried by Fire. May the Lord speak to us this morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, several of us are going through different forms of trials. May we see these trials as preparation for us to stand on Mount Carmel. Speak to us again, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Our message this morning is going to be based on 1 Kings chapter 17, through verses 7 all the way to the end, verse 24. We begin from verse 7, where we are told, "And it happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land." Yesterday we talked about sitting beside a drying brook. Day after day, week after week, Elijah watched at the brook which God had appointed, started dwindling in size. He watched, he literally begged each single day for drops of water until the Bible's testimony says, it came to pass after a while, the brook dried up. What must have gone through Elijah's mind as the brook dried up? I'm sure there were temptations for Elijah. Satan must have whispered, God knows you have brains. Elijah, get up and look for some buckets so you can go for some water from nearby Jordan. Satan may have presented these temptations, urging Elijah to devise his own plans instead of depending on the Lord's blessing. But Elijah was a man of God. He recognized that what the Lord has said he is able to accomplish. He remained faithfully there at Kerith. Faithful obedience. Until, verse 8 tells us, then the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Notice, he waited patiently on the Lord until the word of the Lord came to him. Waiting upon the Lord is another secret of Elijah's power. The preparation we need. Those who would stand with the Lord on Mount Carmel must be individuals who've developed the habit of waiting daily upon the Lord, not going where their own ways, not devising their own plans, not adapting their own schemes, but doing the Lord's will, which includes waiting upon him until his appointed time. So Elijah waited upon the Lord until the brook dried up and the word of the Lord came to him. Notice, the word of the Lord came to him, even as the word has come to him in his hometown of Thisbe in Gilead, saying, go to Samaria and confront Ahab and Jezebel. That word came to him in Samaria after he spoke to Ahab and Jezebel, saying, go to Kerith. And now, after the brook dried up, the word of the Lord came to him again, saying, go somewhere else. Friends, the word of the Lord will come to you. Elijah didn't go searching for the word. Today, there is huge temptation to go looking for the word somewhere else. We are searching for God's word through individuals, through scholars, through leaders, through prophets. We are searching for that word through dreams and visions. We go to all kinds of people. Some go out of the way to new age groups through Ouija boards, crystal balls, fetish shrines, going to all kinds of places looking for the word. But dear friends, if it is your desire to serve the Lord, the word of the Lord will come to you. It comes sometimes as a distinct impression on your heart. Sometimes it comes through circumstances that open and close doors. The word of God will come to you through a sermon. Sometimes it comes to you through a good music, through the godly counsel of Christian believers. There are many ways by which the word of the Lord comes to us. However, the clearest means by which God's word comes to us is through the revealed word of God, the Bible. Whatever means God chooses to reveal his word to you, you must check it by the word of God, the ultimate criteria. It is the final authority, not what anyone says. The word of the Lord came to Elijah saying, "Go to Zarephath." Notice, he waited on the Lord until the word of the Lord came to him saying, "Go." Perhaps I should say that there are two dangers we must avoid. The danger of not waiting on the Lord. We often think God is too slow, and just because we desperately want an overnight success, instant prosperity, some quick solutions to our problems, or rapid recovery from illness, or instant marriages or relationships, we do not want to wait on the Lord. That is a danger. But there is a second danger, and the second danger is overwaiting on the Lord. We don't want God to tell us what to do, and so we don't want to obey him. We delay obedience, saying we are waiting, we are praying, waiting on the Lord. When God says go, we are still waiting. Whereas the first danger tries to rush God's timing, the second doesn't immediately heed his clear directives to go forward. Both dangers express lack of faith. We must wait on the Lord. But when the Lord says go, we must not overweight. So the word of the Lord came to Elijah saying, "Go to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there." That is verse 9. "See, I have commanded a widow woman to provide for you there." See, the Christian life is often unsettling. Sometimes you may be in your hometown and God says, "Go to Samaria." In Samaria, go to Kerith. At Kerith, go to Zarephath. The Christian journey is not always smooth sailing. There are always ups and downs. It is a movement. That's why God's end time church is a remnant movement. It is not an organization. It is a movement. The word of the Lord came to Elijah saying, "Go to Zarephath." See, the word Zarephath means smelting furnace. It is from the word that originally signified a crucible, something in which metals are melted. You see, at Kerith, which means a cutting experience, the Lord tried to chisel, cut Elijah. He pounded him to remove flaws in his life. However, he still needed more training. He had to be refined. And so God sent him to Zarephath, a smelting furnace, to be tried, to be melted. The alloys of pride and complacency had to give way. See, there are many reasons why Elijah would not have wanted to go to Zarephath. First of all, the distance. In order to leave Kerith and travel all the way to Zarephath, it was a tiring distance of about 100 miles. And remember, there were no cars. He had to travel all the way across the width and breadth of the land of Israel. That was a trying experience, a smelting furnace. Remember, at this time, his name was on a wanted list. Tomorrow we are going to talk about it. He was being searched for to be killed. How would he not be discovered? It was a smelting experience, a trying by fire. And also, Zarephath was in a Gentile territory. In the book of Luke, chapter 4, verses 25 and 26, Jesus himself said, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, but God bypassed all of these and sent him to a Gentile, a foreign widow. What that meant for Elijah was, he was to leave the comfort of his homeland, travel to a strange land, a foreign land, become a stranger, an immigrant, a foreigner. That was a trying moment. You don't understand this unless you've experienced a life of a foreigner, a life of an immigrant, a person with an accent. It was a trying experience, tried by fire. Besides, he was to go to Zarephath, and the Bible says in verse 9, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon. That word Zidon, in case you missed it, it was the very place where Jezebel came from. In fact, when you read the previous chapter, chapter 16 and verse 31, the Bible tells us Elijah, who was the son, you know, went and married Jezebel, who was the daughter of Ethbaal, who was the king of the Zidonians. In other words, Jezebel's father was Ethbaal, and he was the king of Zidon. So God was telling Elijah, go to the hometown of your enemy. That was a trying experience. You are being hunted down to be killed, and God says, go to the hometown of your enemy. A trying experience. Another trying experience. In Zarephath, he was to be sustained by a widow. Not a rich businesswoman, a widow. And the poorest of the widows. Because the Bible tells us she had a son and they were going to eat their last meal. Can you imagine to be taken care of by the poorest of the poor? It would have made sense if you had been provided for by a rich woman. But no, the poorest of the poor. That was a trial by fire. Would Elijah go? What would he do? The Bible tells us in verse 10, so he arose and went to Zarephath. He arose and went. That is obedience. And absolute obedience is the secret of Elijah's power. Absolute obedience. Now, there's something else that we need to point out. Notice how Elijah and the woman met. Verse 10 says, so he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, I like that word. Anytime you see behold, it means surprise. Behold, or indeed, or look, see. A widow woman was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. If you've been following the King James Version, when God gave him the instruction, in verse 9, he says, a widow woman will provide for you. God never gave the address of the woman, the phone number, the email address, the WhatsApp number. No, he simply said, a widow woman. How would Elijah know that particular widow woman? The Bible tells us, when he came to the gate of the city, behold, that widow woman was there. Friends, it wasn't by chance that they met. When he set forth in a path of obedience, God went out of his way to touch the heart of this woman to meet him there at the right place. Before Jacob set out for Egypt, God had already raised Joseph to meet him there. Before the Ethiopian eunuch cried out for someone to teach him the Bible, God had already prepared Philip to meet him there. Before Cornelius started praying for the gospel, God had already touched Peter's heart. In other words, God prepares things ahead of time. It wasn't by chance. Behold, the widow woman met him there. It is also significant to notice that God has a sense of humor. I mean, he was to be hidden away in Jezebel's hometown, the very last place that Ahab would look for him. I mean, it's almost like America was looking for Osama bin Laden and God was hiding Osama bin Laden in the White House, the highest seat of power. I mean, God has a sense of humor. That is the last place Ahab and Jezebel will be looking for Elijah in their hometown. God has a humor indeed. I mean, the person to take off for him, the poorest widow, no one would even think this person is harboring God's servant. The message there is, God has a sense of humor. He will take care of us if we will obey. So he went to Zarephath. We cannot stand on Mount Carmel unless we go through the training God gives us. In Zarephath, smelting furnace, tried by fire. It was a trial in the home. You see, at Kerith, when he was beside the drying brook, he was all there by himself. You can be very holy when you are all there by yourself. But when you have to live in a home with a wife, a little boy, it is a whole different experience. You can be a saint when you are living in a monastery. No one is bothering you. You don't have any roommate. But the experience of a home life is one of the trials that God uses to refine us. Elijah needed it. It was trial by fire. Another trial is this woman was a foreigner. But the Jew and the Gentile had to meet. It was a trial. In our church, for instance, we need to bring Jews and Gentiles together. The racism of our times, the doors, the walls must come down. Elijah needed to have his life refined from any alloy, any impurities of racism. Ladies and gentlemen, black and white racism must come down. Tribalism must come down. It is a trial by fire, but we need it. The segregation must give way, and there are different kinds of segregations in the church. Segregations around interest groups. Little boys and girls are separated from adults, women's groups, men groups, all kinds of interest groups. These must come down so we shall be a family again. Trial by fire. See, there are so many lessons, but for lack of time, I'll just highlight the key ones. What are the lessons God wanted to teach Elijah at Zarephath? This trial by fire. One of the lessons is Elijah was content with little. In fact, as you read on, the Bible says Elijah went, met this woman. There are so many things that happen. We are not focusing on the woman, but there's a lesson there. She had very little to live on. But the Lord said, go through Elijah, go get me a little bread, get me a little water. And Elijah was sustained by this woman, and God provided for him, because the promise of Elijah was the bin of flour was not used up, verse 16, nor did a jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord. If we use the little that we have, God will bless and take care for us. Day by day, this woman's resources run out. But day by day, God provided. Elijah and the woman had to live one day at a time. There were not bags of flour, not barrels of oil. They had to depend on the Lord day by day, one day at a time. That was another training Elijah needed. At Kerith, he was used to 2 meals a day. The ravens brought it day and night, morning and evening. We get very satisfied when everything is going well. But at Kerith, the woman would empty the jar. He would empty the barrel, and there was nothing. I can hear the woman say, "Man of God, this is the last thing we have." And Elijah said, "Let's trust the Lord." And lo and behold, tomorrow they go and there is food. At Kerith, we learn the lesson of being content with the little we have. We learn the lesson of daily dependence on God. There's another lesson we want to learn. If you read from verse 17, it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick. His sickness was so sore or so serious that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, "What have I to do, O man of God? Have you come to bring my sin to remembrance and kill my son?" Somehow, apparently in the life of this woman, there was some sin that was nagging her. And Elijah's presence convicted her every single day. "Have you come to bring sin to my remembrance?" See, when there is crisis, sometimes we speak unadvisedly. Elijah would be in this woman's house for about 3.5 or so years. This woman never complained until there was crisis. And then she accosted Elijah. "Thou man of God, have you come to call my sin to remembrance?" I mean, this was uncalled for. Accusing Elijah for things he hasn't done. But how did Elijah respond? The Bible simply says, verse 9, he said to her, "Give me your son." So he took him, carried him into his room. He said, "Give me your son." Here he was accosted. He was attacked. He was slandered. He simply responded with gentleness. Gentleness is might. Silence is speech. And gentleness under provocation is one of the lessons we learn at Kerith. Another lesson we learn at Kerith is the power of intercessory prayer. Elijah took the child in his arms, and the Bible says he carried him, verse 19, this dead child, into his room, and then he cried unto the Lord, verse 20, "Oh Lord, my God, have you brought this tragedy upon this woman that I lodged and killed the son?" He stretched himself on the child 3 times. 3 times doesn't mean just 3 times. It simply means he prayed and prayed and prayed. He stretched his hand upon the child 3 times, cried unto the Lord, "Oh Lord, I pray, let this child's soul, his life, come back to him." And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. He prayed. He prayed for this child. He prayed for this woman. The power of intercessory prayer. That is something else we need. Trying times call for prayer. Intercessory prayer. And finally, when he took this child whom God heard his prayer and the child's life was restored, the Bible says, and Elijah took the child, brought him forth down the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." Behold, your son lives. Surprise, your son lives. Because Elijah serves a living God, through him, he was able to impart life. Because Jehovah lives, our sons and daughters would also live. And then the last verse says, then the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. This is the final testimonial Elijah needed. In order to stand on Mount Carmel, we must receive the certification that we are men and women of God. The woman said, "Now I know you are a man of God, and the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." You cannot stand on Mount Carmel unless you have gone through the training at Kerith, sitting beside a drying brook. Unless you've gone through the training at Zarephath, tried by fire, until even the people around you, your friends, your colleagues, your neighbors, your husband, your wife, all of them know that you are now a man of God, a woman of God, not a man with degrees, not a man with power or position, but a man of God. This is that which qualifies us to stand on Mount Carmel. But this training, waiting on the Lord, but not overwaiting, this training of daily dependence on God, this training of being tried, all of the training, gentleness under provocation, life of intercessory prayer, can only happen when we depend on the Lord day by day, one day at a time. In the language of that song, day by day, with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Ladies and gentlemen, every day we need to know the Lord himself is near us. With special mercy for each hour, all my cares he fain could bear and cheer me. He whose name is Counselor and Power, the protection of his child and treasure, is a charge that on himself he laid. And as the Bible says, as your days, thy strength shall be in measure. This the pledge to me he made, day by day. Friends, God may be trying you. Not sitting beside a drying book, but being tried by fire at Zarephath. What should be your response? Trust him. And so in the poem of Kay Collins, when I cannot see my way clearly, I will trust him who loves me dearly. For he knows what is best, and in Jesus I find rest. When my strength begins to fail, I will trust him through stormy gale. He is the master of my soul, and one day he would make me whole. I will trust him. I will trust him. I will trust him day and night, for he'll make all things right. I will trust him. I'll trust him. Every day, come what may, I will trust him. Let this be our response as we are tried by fire. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the training at Zarephath, tried by fire. We thank you that through these means, you melt the impurities of self-dependency, complacency, pride. Help us, Lord, through the training in our homes to pass the test until, in your own time, we shall stand on Mount Carmel. This is our prayer in Jesus' name.